Adam's finally left, so I can finally get some airtime on this podcast.
I drank a lot of coffee before I came here. And it's all just starting to rush through me. Yeah, you can put that at the beginning of the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way. I'm Adam.
And that wasn't annoying at all. I'm John.
And yes, we're here today in episode 4, which is... Or is it 5? No, it's 4.
4.
4, yeah. Episode 4. Wow, that's impressive.
It really is.
Oh, didn't expect it to go past episode 2.
No. To be honest, I thought this would be long forgotten by now.
Well, it kind of is, except by us, which is cool.
Yeah.
So, today we're just... pretty much messing about, talking about random stuff, pretty much like every single other episode.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our feature artist today is none other than Mr. John himself, my little co-host here. So he'll be playing one of his songs and everybody can just tear it apart.
Yes.
He loves it when people just, you know, disses him something chronic.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anytime people say my stuff is wrong and horrible.
Derivative, and, you know, art and culture. I don't like those people. So, yeah, that's cool. I'm sure it'll be lovely and everybody will love it. And if they don't, then... No, not going to do it. I'll save those for later.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, it's not as if it's self-promotion at all.
No, not at all. Everybody listen to Pian Oakley. He'll love you long time if you listen to it. Let's jump into it, I guess. We had a little thing where I was going to tie John up for the whole episode, but I can't be bothered doing that, so moving ahead. Every episode we're trouting books and movies and all those other fun stuff, games as well, I guess. So this episode is a book, series of books, rather. It's called The Demon Cycle. And it's quite enjoyable. Recommended to me by a friend a while ago, last year, actually. And I read through... I can't remember if it was It wasn't the whole series, because they're, like, chunky books.
Mm.
They're, like, Wise Man's Fear level chunky. But it would have been... anyway, it doesn't matter. So it's called the first book is called The Painted Man, and it's set in the future, surprisingly, not the past, which is what a lot of people think. And it's set in our world, not in some fantasy place. It's set in our world about like 3,000 years in the future or something like that.
Wow!
So it talks about demons, obviously, demons that came from the past, but humanity were able to, you know, force them back, essentially. So the demons retreated and bided their time, if you will.
Yeah.
Humans forgot all about the wards and the magics and all that type of stuff and relied more heavily upon technology, as we do today, and that's when they saw their chance. So up they came and pretty much obliterated us. Humanity they were able to remember some of these lost wards and hid behind them, essentially. And that's where the story begins, essentially, where mankind is hiding in their home behind defensive wards, which, you know, ward off these demons, which only come at night and pretty much just obliterate anything in their past. You've got different types like stone demons, fire demons, wood demons, all these type of fun things.
And here I was thinking there was only one type.
Oh, no, in this series there's plenty. But it's quite well written, I must admit.
Okay.
And, like, the last book, I think it's called The Skull Throne. It was really good. A lot of stuff happened in there that I didn't expect. And it features music in it as well, funnily enough.
Okay.
Demons can, like, send these... Sorry, music, rather, can send these demons into trances. And, like, people can just go through and kind of, like, trans-slaughter them and things like that. It's actually quite good. You might enjoy it. I think in the first book there's an adult theme, which pops up very
just
quickly.
One theme.
Just one type of adult theme, if my listeners catch my drift. But I don't think that shows again in the rest of the series.
Okay.
So, but I recommend it. If you don't like it, then that's fine. But it's not everybody's cup of tea. I enjoyed it. It's a good little escape.
So describe to me in this book, you talk about wards and magics. How do these wards work in the world that they've created?
So, I'm assuming it's like... like the old type of Nordic runes, perhaps. Like kind of picture a lot of those. There's actually a couple of pictures, like artists, which have kind of created the thought process behind them.
Okay.
And actually, the author created some, like the, so when they say defensive rune or attack rune or things like that, like there's certain type of runes which will empower you. So the premise is, this gentleman, I'm not going to spoil anything. This gentleman, the Painted Man, as he becomes known as, he, as humanity has regressed essentially and they're hiding behind all these defensive wards, this young boy, he's a bit different. Not in, like, magic power or anything like that. He's different because he isn't horrifyingly afraid of these demons.
Oh.
So he goes off and basically runs away from home and travels the world in these defensive circles and things like that, and he discovers the long-forgotten attack runes, like the offensive runes, and he paints them, well, he carves them and tattoos them onto himself, which augments his power, because every time he kills a demon, he actually absorbs some of its essence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Anyway,
That's a cool concept.
Yeah. I like it because it's different from, it's fantasy, of course, but it's a different take on fantasy in certain levels. So, yeah, I'd recommend that. In fact, I'm just trying to see now. No, I'll look at it later because I'm typing in Spanish. So, so yeah, The Painted Man is the first series in the book, followed by The Daylight War. Oh, actually, that's the thing. No, followed by Desert Spear. So the concept is, right, so you've got kind of Western culture that we are, right, which is a lot of people hiding behind defensive wards and stuff like that. And then you have, surprisingly, like, the second book is based entirely upon a different faction of people.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, this is going to be crap. I'm not going to like this book. That's probably one of the best books in the series.
Oh, wow.
It's called The Desert Spear, and that's where the attack runes were discovered, on the Desert Spear.
All right.
And it's, that society is based around, loosely based around, like, the Muslims. But it's really, like, it's quite good. And I know, like, especially in Australia and all over the world, really, you know, there's all the racism and attacks against Muslims and things like that. But in this series, it's not Muslims. Like, for instance, women are slightly more empowered. For instance, there's this sect of women who cannot be touched. They can kill anybody at their whim, essentially. If someone, like a male, looks at them, boom, they can snap their neck. They're trained in all sorts of martial arts and they're crazy sauce. It's fantastic.
All right.
So, yeah, but highly recommend it. Daylight War, Desert Spear. Sorry. Painted Man, Desert Spear, Daylight War, Throne of Skulls, or Skull Throne, or something like that. And, yeah, I recommend it to our vast, vast network of listeners. Share it, like it, love it. If anybody's out there and likes to laugh and be entertained, the quality is quite amazing. Go to YouTube and type in Superhero Beatdown. The channel is called Bat in the Sun, and it's a bunch of superheroes that wail on each other. So you've got Iron Man versus Optimus Prime, Wolverine versus Wonder Woman, Wolverine versus Batman, Batman versus Deadpool, Batman versus someone else. One of my favorite ones, Spider-Man versus Darth Maul.
Okay.
It actually ends pretty cool.
So how does it work? What, do they fight each other?
Yeah. So there's like a mini, then like 3 minutes, like 3 minute videos. Actually, okay.
And it's animated or it's people?
No, people. Actual live action stuff.
Wow.
And it's like surprisingly decent quality. Okay. So what happens is I skip the first part of the video because it's like at least 7 minutes of build up.
Okay.
Of these people like going around interviewing people saying, oh, who do you think would win or things like that. So I'm just like, boring, straight to the action.
Yeah.
It's good. You will probably enjoy it at certain points. A bit of blood and guts at times. It's not too bad. Like one Wonder Woman getting like stabbed through the leg with Wolverine's claws.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's good fun. Yeah, it's good. I think there was... I'm trying to remember. Oh, on the same channel. It's called The Waiting Room, where it's got all the superheroes, not all, like three each episode, sitting down just chatting, making awkward conversation.
Okay.
It's quite good. It's like, I like it. Oh, that's one. Deadpool and Domino versus Joker and Harley Quinn. That Joker, have you seen Suicide Squad?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Jared Leto, whatever his name is, I didn't like his Joker.
Yeah.
The guy who played Joker in this video is like the best Joker ever.
Nice.
He's so good. So yeah, nonetheless. Try and describe this one. Let's see how you go.
Well, okay. So one time, I was hanging out with Adam, and basically he started talking in what I can only describe as gibberish, complete gibberish. But then the longer I listened to it, the more I discovered that it's actually intelligible. So, of course, as we always do on this show, we're very pure about what content we include, that it always has to be related to the survival of the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, always. Oh, yeah. Did I do that for the last ones? I don't think I did.
No.
No, well.
But we're super strict about it, as you know.
Yep.
So the way this links into the apocalypse, of course, is how we survive the apocalypse. There's going to be people listening to our radio or overhearing conversations, whatever it is. We need to be able to talk in codes. Now, I'm not suggesting that we use this crazy gibberish code of yours.
That's pretty easily broken.
It's very easily broken. Mm-hmm. However, I think it's important that we rewire our brains to be able to quickly translate from one thing to the other, which this code is a helpful practice.
Okay. So the code I learned in primary school, and I honestly can't remember who taught it to me, what year it was or anything like that, but it's called Alibi. And I don't even know how it works. My brain just does it automatically. Honestly, I don't know how it works. So I'm going to say a sentence, Johnny, and let's see if you can try and decipher it.
All right.
Alibi Willibish, Thalabat, Alibi, Kulabud, Halabav, Alibay, Bolaburg, Olibo.
I wish that I could have a burger.
Boom! Done it! Boy!
What is that?
I have no idea. I was trying to be hip, you know, for all the kids out there.
Oh, man, you were just throwing some serious shade.
Says the man with the tie. I don't think I'm being hip anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know why, but Adam rocked up to this recording session wearing a full suit and tie and a scarf and a jacket.
Hey, I look sexy as hell.
Okay.
Yeah, shrug a bit. But anyway, so Alibi. So let's. I'm going to say a few more for you. In fact, for the rest of this segment, I'm only going to speak in Alibi. So that way, if our listeners can try and decipher what I'm saying, starting from Nalabau.
Okay, this is going to be extremely difficult for you, but also
Alibi Delabent Delabink Solabo.
So, yeah, I don't think so either, Adam. I think it's going to be difficult for
me. Dolabont, Gilibiv, Dilibi, Lilibi, Lilibis, Nilibos, Eliben, Ilibi, Hilibins, Alibet, Wallabot, Alibi, Alibem, Salibay, Yilibing. Lilibet, Delibem, Trilibi, Tulibu, Dilibi, Salibai, Felibur, Wallabot, Alibi, Alibem, Salibay, Yilibing. Dilibi, Pelibes, Zilibans.
Okay, so to you, you've either worked it out by now, or you just think Adam has probably gone crazy.
Alibi, Halibab, Halibad, Alibay, Strolaboke.
Yeah, maybe he's had a stroke. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like I need to give them more of a hint as to how it's working.
Alibi, Dolabon, Ilibi, Villabon, Nolabo, Halabau, Ilibit, Wallaburks, Rilibi, Ilibi, Alibi, Jelibus, Tolibok, Lalabak, Dilibis, Eliben, Ilibit, Halabaz, Molaborft, Ilibin, Tulibu, Salabum, Willibi, Dilibing, Ilibin, Malabai, Braliban.
Okay, you talk way too much. They're Alibi- just going to be skipping through this episode. Like, why? It's my, like, MP3 player podcast software not working? What's going on here?
Alibi, Caliban, Tolibok, Falabas, Telibur, Balabat, Ilibit, Willibit, Bilibi, Molibor, Dilibif, Kulibut, Tulibu, Falabor, Elibem, Tulibu, Hilibi, Willibot, Alibi, Elibem, Salibay, Ilibing.
So, if you didn't manage to work out what he's saying, basically, he's just saying the same as normal words, but every syllable he'll add basically the sound alibi into it. So, if you say
hello, Tolibos, Ilibi, Ilibi.
I think he lost it a bit there.
Yellabas alibi dillabib. Salabum woolabirds alibi rillibil illibi. Let's see, hello. I'm going to read that one out. Let's see, who's it from? It's from my friend Pete. And he says, am I still playing at 8? The question is, no, because it's now 8:05 and I'm not home yet. So that's fine.
All right, we better finish the episode soon.
No, that's fine. I'll just send him a quick text back. Still recording. Be there soon.
What is the game you're playing?
Oh, not a game. I'm playing.
Playing.
Yeah. What, well, I'm mean? Singing actually.
Singing.
Yep. I'm totally lying. He's totally confused. It's a game. Of course it's a game. Okay. Nerd. Game? It's called Heroes.
Oh, Heroes.
Oh, would you... Okay, what I'm going to do quickly is just... Should have done that straight away. Just putting that on silent. There we go. And, yeah. Heroes of the Storm. That's not too bad. Easy, casual game to play with friends, essentially. because, you know, I've played Ark a whole bunch recently. I've got a new one called Elite Dangerous, actually, which is...
I've heard of that.
Yeah, space exploration and stuff. Like, you can create, like, a vast empire of doom, which is what I'm going for. I'm going to call it the Evil League of Evil.
Oh, yeah. I spend nothingness.
Of course. Oh, and, yeah, obviously the alibi thing has now pretty much ended. But, see, the problem... If you're going to create a code, you need to make it real difficult to crack, because there's going to be... intelligent people out there, or they're going to die first. Who knows? We'll see how we go. So, I actually like to do cryptography. So, I like the Caesar shift cipher and things like that. Because, and like, all melding two type of ciphers together.
Okay.
It's pretty damn fun. It was a, I've created a whole bunch of ciphers down at work with friends.
Okay.
And we'd either... we'd either try to break each other's codes, or we'd just send secret transcripts to each other.
Nice.
So that way people would be like, what are these freaks doing? Or we'd leave it on whiteboards all over the place. That's pretty fun.
Nice.
Because then you can like leave insulting messages to people and they can't be read.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I must admit, I used to do that a bit. Like, I would get out the spy books or whatever and learn about all the different ciphers that you can create, learn Morse code, etc., etc.
I've got a book I can give you.
Yeah, the skill has been lost to time, but I think it's important. I mean, as an IT professional, I guess I'm thinking about encoding a lot, which is kind of, I mean, a similar kind of thing in some ways, because you're saying, oh, I've got this information and I want to encode it as this way. I want to turn it into ones and zeros. I want to turn it into numbers, which represent letters, etc., etc. So it's the same kind of idea, but obviously with a different usage. But when it comes time to the apocalypse or technology wiped out, I've got to be able to store, I mean, transfer information in a secret way.
Yeah. Well, that's damn pretty much what ciphers will be used for. I'll lend you the book and you can have a crack at it.
All right.
Some of it are pretty good. I'll even teach you one before I leave. Nice and simple.
Nice.
Rail cipher. Anywho, so the... Alibi is pretty cool. All the codes are fun. Like, Alibi is just fun to mess, like, if you're at the pub or something like that and you want to, you know, say something covert to one of your friends, just like, hey, Lebay, Lullabook, Alibat, Dalabat, Bilabir, I'm Gullabook, Gullabook, Alibi, Alibam, Gullabo, Willabing, Tullabu, Drillabing, Thalabat, Rallabat, Nalabau, Hullaba, Hullaba, Hullaba. Yes, that was me laughing at Alibi.
That's so good.
Yellowbess. Illibit, Illibiz, Gullabud.
So, okay, before we think that the people are listening...
This is going to be like just a throwaway episode. It's going to be them going like, yeah, skip this.
Skip. Everyone knows it'll be like, yeah, skip episode four.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, I'm not sure what this one's about, so this is all you.
What are we up to? Oh, public... Wait, what?
Yeah, that's correct.
Public transport and the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. So, what's this about?
So, I was contemplating, because every time I edit these episodes, I don't get much spare time, but when I do get a lot of spare time is on my way to work each day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the train, blah, blah, blah. I've got my laptop editing the episode. Now, of course, I'm thinking about the apocalypse while I'm editing the episode, because that's what we're talking about.
Of course.
And so, it occurred to me, public transport has got to be the worst place to be in the event of a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, I'd probably say it's top 10. Definitely. Top 5, I would say. Yep. I think that would be... Yeah. I think hospital would also be a bad place.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably up there. But public transport, definitely. Because, think of New York subway system. Let's say there was some type of horrific nuclear holocaust. Right? Mm. Nuclear, just worldwide domination. And you're underground a fair way. You're trapped, essentially. And then it's going to lead to cannibalism, disease, all sorts of...
Oh, wow.
And then you got the rats down there. Horrible, horrible rats.
But, like, even in the case of a zombie apocalypse, I'm just sitting on the train. Let's say I'm at one end of the train. The other end, someone had just turned. So they've been bitten, they got on the train, they didn't know what was going on, they turned.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly, they start biting everyone else. And they're just running through. Slowly, more and more people are getting there until you just... You don't even know because you're just sitting there with your headphones on and then you look to the left and you see this huge crowd of people just running towards you.
Which is going to lead to people trampling you. It's going to lead to all sorts of stuff.
So I might even be killed by people who aren't zombies trying to get away from the zombies.
That's more likely. Most likely.
And then what if the train driver just dies or something? And then we're trying to jam open the...
The doors.
The doors.
Yeah.
And then we're like running across, and then what? You're in the middle of the freeway or whatever, or if you're in the subway, you're like, there's no escape. You're just trapped there.
Yeah, that would be a real bad, like in a subway, I think would be a real bad place for like a zombie outbreak to occur. Because even if you jump out of the train and you're like in between stations and stuff like that, you're in a dark environment. You have raw electricity running underneath your feet, so you don't want to be tripping.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, a horde of ravenous flesh-eating death zombies right behind you, just craving your sweet, sweet flesh.
Mm.
Glorious flesh, in my opinion. But, yeah, public transport, not a good place to be for a zombie outbreak. Have you ever seen 28 Days Later?
No, I haven't.
Okay, rightio. Well, what you just described then wasn't on public transport, it was in a bunker.
Oh, okay.
Where a whole bunch of people had been, you know, like a safe zone, except someone had been bitten. And they got there, and it just turned into a meat grinder.
Yeah.
There was just death everywhere.
Just when you think you're safe.
Just when you think you're safe, the worst occurs. So never be safe. That's the lesson we're trying to teach you. Never think you're safe, because undoubtedly you're not.
Actually, and they're going to sleep really well tonight. Yeah.
I'm watching you.
Okay, you better move on.
Anyway, now, interesting little thing. Have you ever, like, let's say you're walking.
Yeah.
You don't do a lot of walking at night, do you?
You know, here and there, especially if I'm late back from work.
That's right.
Back to the house.
You've got the feeling you're being watched.
Yeah.
You are. That's the thing.
What?
And you're being watched by a predator.
Why? Huh?
A little, I can't remember, it was a study I heard a while ago.
Okay, hang on. Oh, wait.
That's the wrong one. Oh, a rant. Okay, yeah. I was just like, oh, okay. So anyway, a study I read a while ago, and it was talking about, like, that feeling, you know, you being watched, essentially. Mm. And it's an evolutionary byproduct, where your subconscious mind is taking in so much information constantly, like around you, like reflections off car door mirrors or whatever and all that type of stuff, and it's flowing straight into your subconscious brain.
Mm.
And that subconscious is then, you know, analyzing in microseconds and then giving you intuitions and stuff like that. I don't believe in, you know, luck or anything of that because, you know, well, not luck, so to speak. I don't believe in gut feeling, so to speak. It's more along the lines of your subconscious mind generating information and giving you that thought.
Right.
So your subconscious mind is taking in all this stuff, and it has noticed something, and it's given you that feeling. And that feeling is you're being watched by a predator. And you know what that predator is, most likely?
What?
A cat.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a cat. But cats are not now, obviously. But cats are, like killing machines. Mm. Imagine a cat, right? Well, just imagine a normal domesticated house cat. Mm. Let's say the size of a German Shepherd. That thing would, they would hunt in packs and kill humanity. I'm sure of it. They already think they're gods on our planet.
Yeah.
Cats, they're horrible things. They're scary. But, yeah, so that's an interesting little thing. A lot happens in the bushes and things like that. You could be being watched by something that's trying to hunt you.
Oh, gosh.
So never, ever ignore gut feelings, ladies and gentlemen, because they're trying, your subconscious mind is trying to tell you something. So if push comes to shove and you're feeling like, I'm being watched, most likely, you are.
So back on the topic of public transport, there is one good thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you manage to find a bus
that,
say, all the zombies have finally left the bus,
mm-hmm.
it might still be full of fuel, or it might be only one of those electric ones or something.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to commandeer the bus, and that would be a great way to collect up.
How political of you saying, commandeer, you're stealing it. That's flatter. You're flogging it. Commandeering. Good gracious. There's no commandeering in the apocalypse. It's just theft. Or utilization, I guess, because technically the city's not going to be using it, and the bus driver's probably been eaten and left, you know, crawling.
It's public. It's public transport.
I guess you're right. Yeah, it's public. It's mine. I'm part of the public, I guess.
So I guess you might have to hotwire it or something.
Yeah, but that's another lesson you should all learn.
A bunch of people in there. Yeah, hotwire. How to hotwire a car. Yeah, let's all Google that right now.
Yep.
Make sure we don't get any watch lists.
I mean, I don't condone it, but it's a useful skill to have in an emergency situation. Just like, and if you don't, if you're listening to this podcast and you do not drive a manual or, for American friends, stick, you need to learn how to drive a manual car.
Okay, why is that?
Let's say you're in a situation, not just in apocalyptic survival situations. Let's say you're out with friends.
Oh, yeah.
And your friend has driven you. And that friend suddenly gets impaled by a falling...
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. A falling tree branch made out of shadow and death.
No, my friend!
Yep, me. Okay? So let's say we've taken out my ute. Yeah. Right? We've gone four-wheel driving, and I've fallen over and just shattered my skull into a, I don't know... Stone.
No, okay? Adam!
Yep. I'm on the ground. I'm dazed, looking up at the beautiful starry sky, and that's the last thing I see before I black out.
Oh, wow.
You can't drive manual. What do you do?
I guess I would just have it in first the whole time, like revving out crazy with you in the back. But the good thing is, I do know how to drive.
Yes, exactly. You do know how to drive.
This hypothetical, it's fine. Yes. Well, you'd probably still die because I wouldn't get you to the hospital in time. But
at least you know how to drive manual.
Yeah.
But let's say someone's been horrifically burned by jumping over a fire or something like that. They're not going to die straight away.
Yeah.
Getting to the hospital, though. Important.
Yeah.
So, drive them straight there. Or, you know, helicopter, whatever.
So that's, I guess, why. Because it was a lot more expensive to get all the lessons for manual and learn that. But I always thought in the back of my head there'd be one day where there was an emergency and I needed to know how to drive manual.
And if you know how to drive manual, you know how to drive automatic.
There's only one situation where this has come up where I needed to know how to drive manual.
Yeah.
And it was, we were in Queensland and we borrowed a friend's car. Mm. Well, actually, we didn't borrow a friend's car.
You stole it.
You
hotwired it. Yeah. Here you have it, folks. John, stealing cars.
Basically, we did. We did borrow it.
Okay. Quickly backtracking. I like it.
Basically, we needed it, but it was only a manual. Mm-hmm. And luckily I had a manual license because we needed it. It was an emergency.
Mm.
We wanted to go to Movie World, the theme park.
Definitely an emergency.
Yeah, emergency situation. Hugely emergency. So we were able to go there.
Yeah, that's problem cool. Solved. I've only ever driven manuals.
Okay.
I prefer more control. But this is not an auto talk show, surprisingly.
But before we move on,
okay.
Manuals are the only way to survive the apocalypse. Because if you think nuclear explosion goes off, EMP blast wipes out all the computers.
Yeah, but your car's not going to start then either.
But your manual, you could still... Yeah, you're right. Maybe, but there might be some way you can start. You might be able to, like, just light a match and then, like, put it over the spark plug.
Sure. Yeah, that... Because, you know, your onboard computer hasn't been fried at all because, you know, microchips just, they're not in cars anymore. As you know, we discussed this already, like the government taking over your car and causing it to crash, right. Things like that. Yeah, episode one, actually. There you go. Or two. No, one.
I think it was two.
No, oh, one of them. So, yes, the public transport. For the zombie apocalypse.
We've covered it.
Yeah, don't be caught on public transport. And if you do, make a graceful and heroic escape. By, you know, like, swinging down on a rope.
Nice.
Yeah, just always carry a rope with you as well. Actually, that is something you should always have with you, a paracord bracelet.
Oh, okay. Why's that?
It can be useful in any situation. I like to have a multi-tool paracord bracelet, because I've got all these in my car.
Yeah.
Multi-cord, paracord bracelet, and a survival knife. True story.
All right.
You're looking at me very confused. Just like, ooh. It's like the puppy does when it's... You know.
I'm trying to imagine all the situations that would help you get out of.
Well, I mean, like with the paracord bracelet, it's good for shelter building and stuff like that.
Okay.
It could be good for, like, first aid if you need to hold something in place, like tie a bandage or a splint into the area. So, you know, always useful, those paracord bracelets. So, and they're, like, super cheap. Talking about zombies and their horror, which will ensure. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, and I am starting to do this myself now, is fitness is a goal. Now, John here, he does marathons. I do marathons as well, but they're in front of the TV.
Okay, I've only done one half marathon.
You've done marathons. I mean, you and your wife and your sister and all your brother and... Another brother as well?
Yeah,
your other brother as well. All marathon runners, essentially. And it's crazy. It's great fun. Like, your family's, like, super fit. I mean, I'm not overly unfit, but I just prefer sitting at home watching Netflix and eating pizza. That's my life.
That's the best kind of marathon.
Oh, yeah. Doctor Who marathon? Yeah. Stargate marathon? Boom, I'm there. However...
Running marathon?
No. But, however, we can make it fun.
Okay.
There's an app on the App Store. And I'm sure it's on iTunes. I don't use iTunes. But It's an app on iOS called Zombie Run.
Okay.
And what happens is you plug this in, you get your headphones ready, plug it in, start. Zombie noises immediately start playing through you. And you have to run to make those noises fade away, because it tracks your odor, it tracks your GPS distance and speed and all that type of stuff.
Okay.
So you've got to keep running. You've got to keep running to avoid those zombies. So you can run for a while, like slow down to catch your breath. Yep. But as soon as you hear those noises, you pick up the pace. So you keep going until you die. And it can get really, intense at times as well.
Nice.
While I'm doing it, I can almost picture that, because I'm not running very fast. Yeah. I can almost imagine, just hands reaching out from behind, trying to grab me and stuff like that. No, thank you.
Dude, I want to give this a go.
Totally. Do it. So, yeah, on your phone, Zombie Run, because it's important, people. If the dead rise, how far can you run? In fact, not just dead. I mean, in any case, what if, a societal collapse? You need to outrun some people who are trying to, eat your flesh. You don't want that type of stuff, because eventually, all resources will be gone. We've got 7 billion people on the planet now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know, right? Crazy.
Or, explosion goes off, you're going to have to run from that.
Yep. You need to keep your cardio up. So I recommend 30 minutes a day, you run.
Zombie run.
Zombie run, ladies.
I've got to get... So you've given it a go already?
Yep.
And so it just keeps going until you die.
Yeah, there's a story mode as well, okay, which you can go through, which will kind of play and give stuff. Nice. There's a paid version as well. I just use the free one.
Oh, nice.
And this was recommended to me by, I'm not sure if she listens, PT trainer down at work, Chrissy.
All right.
She always trying to get me to the gym or trying to get me to physically active. I'm just she was the active lifestyle coach down there. I labeled myself the inactive lifestyle coach. So she was trying to get people to go to the gym. I was trying to encourage them to sit in their room and read. Yeah, watch a TV show. Hey, yeah. Hey, I've got a DVD of How I Met Your Mother. Do you want to watch that? Yeah, things like that. It's perfect. And we compliment each other wonderfully. But she mentioned this, and I'm just like, this is dark trickery on your part, madam. How dare you lure me in with zombies?
Yeah,
this
is my win.
Oh, she knew. She knew. Wow. Horrifying woman, that one. But yes, so Zombie Run is quite good. Search for it now. Google Play Store, or the Play Store, whatever, and iTunes, and you will get fit in no time, because you'll just be thinking to yourself, just imagine it in your head, right? Just imagine you running down the street with burning cars. I'm not sure how active your imagination is, but mine's wild. I'm running, and all I'm thinking of is burning cars. You hear cries for help in the background as well at times. So while you're running, you just imagine those ravenous horde of zombies behind you, just reaching out with their gnarled dead hands, trying to, take your sweet, sweet liver and eat it. I don't particularly want that to happen to me. So you need to do that 30 minutes of cardio every day.
Next up, we've got a song from a musical artist. I've never heard of them. They sound pretty, I don't know. Seems like a wannabe.
Sorry, I'm just watching him stumble through all this. So who is our artist today, John?
Me.
It's you. Ah, so shameless self-plug. I love it.
Yeah.
And, plus...
We ran out of artists already. Yep. So if you know someone who's trying to get out there,
yeah, let us know. We'll play it on the podcast. We'd love to have whoever it is on there. We've had Frank Echo, we've had Joshua Blackwell. We need more. So link us, share us on Facebook. We'll play. We'll be happy to.
Mm.
Well, we need the artist permission though. That's the
thing. Yeah. So don't just say Avicii or something. Something tells me he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Hey, you never know. He could be like, I need to learn how to survive the apocalypse. I'm not a nerd, but I can still listen to how to do this. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
And listen to weird, convoluted nonsense. So our artist today is John. And what's your voice? Yes, because you sing in these as well, don't you?
No, I don't actually.
No. But what's your stage name? That's what I'm thinking of.
Pianocle.
Say that nice and close to the mic for us.
Pianocle.
There you go, ladies and gentle ducks. So,
gentle ducks?
Yeah, I don't know why I picked that up ages ago.
Okay.
So we'll play this glorious song from my esteemed co-host here and the nom de plume of Pianocle, and you'll like it, or I will weep tears of absolute rage. So play that song.
Enjoy. Thank you.
Just magnificent, and I'm sure our listeners loved it.
All right,
they will have loved it.
Yeah, that's the way to get me famous in the music industry.
Yeah,
just threaten people to like
it. You would like this. So yeah, I like that. It's funky.
Mm.
I don't know how else to describe it because I don't know any of your musician lingo.
Oh, sure,
plenty of musicians. But no, I thought that was funky and pretty. I don't know, terms. Funky and awesome. Boom, done. So yeah, that's Piano Oakley. So where are you at? Spotify?
You can look me up on Spotify. I have one song on there, and then SoundCloud mainly. P-I-A-O-N. I spelled it wrong. P-I-A-N-O-K-E-L-Y.
There you go, ladies and gentle ducks. Look for that on SoundCloud and or Spotify for that one singular delicious song of destiny.
Mm.
In that fact, that's its name, isn't it?
It
is now. So, so look that up. Give Johnny Boy a like, follow, I don't know, whatever you do on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And it'll be glorious because he will just love it. It's not like we're getting paid for any of this stuff.
No. I literally don't earn any money from music. I just do it for fun.
Yeah, for sure. Right, well, I think this is a rather shortish episode today.
It's not the end yet.
It is now.
Oh.
Goodbye, I'm done. So,
see you later, Johnny Boy.
I was going to talk about...
See you, man. Good afternoon.
Okay, thank goodness. Adam's finally left, so I can finally get some airtime on this podcast. Like, I spend so much time working on this podcast, and it just turns out that Adam just talks the whole time. And it's really annoying. Anyway, so now what I can talk about is making an anechoic chamber. So, Adam...
Nobody cares. No. So, continue.
Okay. So, the anechoic chamber.
Yeah, man. Right?
Basically, why are you that creepily close to the microphone?
I don't know. I just figured the listeners would want to listen to the smooth jazz voice.
We're
just
not an ASMR channel.
No. Oh, speaking of which, actually, just quick, brief side note. We'll have a guest on, possibly one of our next shows, who's going to talk about the benefits or the... Because you get creeped out by ASMR.
Yes.
Like fingernails chalkboard for you.
So this was the thing we talked about in the first episode where quiet voices make you feel weird.
Yeah, like or pleasant, you know.
Or
so
pleasant,
it's like,
yeah.
Like, hi, yes, I quite enjoyed listening to this. If you like listening to ASMR...
This is creepy, Adam.
We have some new news for you.
Okay, that's enough.
So that's it. John's creeping out, like, cringing. He's got his legs up against himself. He's, like, making weird hand gestures. But nonetheless, so just one more little piece.
No.
Too bad.
No, okay. ASMR. So that's, like, what I just did then was a kind of a very poor example of ASMR.
Sure. So you've got a friend.
Yeah, I've got a friend.
He's going to help us understand it a bit.
Yeah, better. Like, he quite enjoys it.
Okay.
Like, you get creeped out at me. I'm just like, this is nothing to me. It's someone who's talking softly at me. Mm. This is what it is. However, he likes it. And so he agreed to come on the show and
all right.
talk about why he likes it, essentially.
Okay.
So I think that'd be good. So back to the anabolic chamber.
The anechoic chamber, right. It's along the topics of ASMR. So basically, I was thinking about this because every time before we record an episode, we end up basically ransacking my house, trying to find mattresses and towels, etc., to fill the house with, as we have addressed in previous episodes. Now, the reason for this is because, well, the studio I have is not really a studio. It's just a bedroom which I've thrown recording stuff into.
I have the best idea.
Okay.
So we can stop doing this.
Yes.
Let's go to Bunnings.
Mm.
Let's do like a project.
Yep.
We'll get foam.
Okay.
We'll stick it on the walls.
Brilliant.
I don't know what else to do. Mm. That's my idea. Foam on walls.
Foam on walls.
Yeah, go on.
Brilliant.
So anechoic chamber?
That's what we're about to talk about, foam on walls.
Okay.
So I was thinking about this, and I was like, how can we create my studio to be a bit better?
Mm-hmm.
But what I remember seeing previously is a video about this thing called the anechoic chamber, which basically means, well, it doesn't echo. Anechoic.
Okay.
I don't know if that's actually where it comes from, but it sounds good anyway. So basically, they filled a whole room. All the walls are covered in this black foam that is arranged into like a triangle type shape,
mm-hmm.
so that no matter what sound wave hits it, no matter how big the sound wave or small the sound wave is, whether it's a high or low pitch sound, it will not be able to reflect back at you. And that's what creates the feeling of space and room and echoes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they didn't just stop at the walls. They covered the walls with these huge cones. They also covered the roof, and the floor is a metal grate, basically.
Yeah.
And below the floor is even more cones.
Oh.
So when you walk into this room, absolutely every direction, including the door you walk through, they shut it and it's a perfect seal. Foam cones. So basically, you walk in there and apparently you feel this pressure on your ears because they're so used to hearing just little echoes of sound reflecting off everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk in, you sit down, they turn off the lights. You can't hear anything you can't hear anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is your ears slowly get more and more sensitive to the point where you can hear your own heartbeat.
Wow.
Like not putting it on your chest or anything, like just through your ears. And apparently you can hear your blood moving around through your veins. Like, this is creepy. So unfortunately they don't have one like here in Perth.
We should make one.
Yeah. Okay. Next episode.
Yeah, we're already finished it. Yeah, we'll go to Bunnings. We'll just make it from there. That's fine.
Easy. I'm sure it didn't cost them millions of dollars to make.
We'll just get $2 phone, mate. We'll be fine. Clarky, the rubber duck specialist.
Now, of course, before you jump in and say, how does this relate to the apocalypse? I've actually got no idea.
A quiet room for reflection after a day of slaughter.
Okay, that's a little bit scary.
Or,
mm-hmm.
Let's say you have a prisoner.
Yes.
And you, like someone, let's say you have a compound somewhere, right?
Mm.
And fortunately enough, you stumbled upon one of these chambers because this person was a very strange, eccentric billionaire.
Yeah.
And he said, I want one of those chambers. Give me one of those chambers. So you've got one of those chambers in your little compound. And you found some snake mongrel individual who was not, parents were not married when he was born. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, work that out.
what?
And he's been scouting out your location. He's been trying to work out how to, you know, get in there, kill everybody and get all his friends inside.
Okay.
So you catch him though. We're moral, right? We don't want to torture. Well, not to the extent. So how do you get information without causing physical harm or psychological, long-lasting psychological harm? You stick him in one of those chambers. You'd go mad after, like, a day. I'm sure of it.
Yeah. They reckon after 7 hours you'd go crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
So boom, there you go. You'd just be like, tell us what you know.
But also, it relates to the apocalypse in another way. I did think about this before. Oh,
okay. You just couldn't come up with a good answer.
But, yeah, mine wasn't as good as that one.
Oh, there you go.
Mine is slightly less horrifying, though.
Horror is always good.
We need to be understanding these things like the anechoic chamber to be able to absorb all sound, say, for instance. So the anechoic chamber mainly designed so that you can basically have a perfectly clean recording sound. Mm-hmm. So it'd be awesome to record the podcast inside that room one day. But also, it blocks out sound from getting out.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of if you need to hide, because a raiding party has just come to wherever you are.
Have like a small room with triangled shape foam walls and hide in there. You can make a little bit of noise and not be discovered.
Because every time in the movies, they all hide in a cupboard, but then one person just happens to sneeze and then it blows the whole operation. So with this, you can basically have a party, DJs and everything.
You ain't finding me. Waka waka waka.
And they won't find you still.
Yeah, right.
Perfect. Apocalypse survived.
Yeah, apocalypse survived thanks to anechoic chamber and DJs. Boom! Done. I love that sound effect, by the way. It's so dramatic.
I know.
ninja. So, yeah, I think that's all I've got for today.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
I'm pooped.
It was pretty easy to survive the apocalypse today.
We always survive the apocalypse. We're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's it for us here at Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerds Way. We hope you've had a wonderful day filled with nothing but rainbows, butterflies, and sunshine. And, of course, that's not me speaking. That's a sentient plant who has invaded my mind. No, not really. But anyways, guys, do have a wonderful week. Keep your go bags ready, filled with DVDs, books, music, and
perhaps a little food.
As always, food's overrated.
Yeah, it really is.
And
good night. Good night.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, now John does the ASMR. Hold on, wait. I'll do the sign off with it. Ready?
Good night. Listeners, good night.
Yeah, seriously, though, good night, guys. See you later.
Oh, my goodness.
End recording.
We need to talk closer to the microphone.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Making out, remember?
If I hear that on the podcast, I'm going to be furious.